Hey guys, my name's Brandon. I'm here with Madison and Megan, and we are here at Stone Valley Recovery, and we're doing this week's weekly reflections. The reading comes from Daily Reflections, August the 23rd. Bringing the message home. Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged families that we bring to an AA group? 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 111 and 112. My family members suffer from the effects of my disease. Loving and accepting them as they are, just as I love and accept AA members, fosters a return of love, tolerance, and harmony to my life. Using common courtesy and respecting others' personal boundaries are necessary practices for all areas of my life.
Oh my gosh, okay, hold on. Even if it goes further, I like this reading, even if it goes further than the family, you hurting your family and the effects caused by your disease, they might have their own thing going on. And personal boundaries. Oh my gosh, personal boundaries are so important, especially with family. I was just talking to my sponsor about this last week. And it's easy for us to let up on our boundaries when it comes to family because of guilt or shame or trying to make up for past harms or whatever the case might be. We're much more susceptible to let our family members not respect our needs, our wishes, our desires, our boundaries that we lay down half-ass, you know, and that doesn't help with our recovery and our self-esteem or help us be available to them as we are to groups of AA.
Yeah.
Because it's a spiritual disease, no? Yeah. It's a spiritual malady. Okay, so when people not in the program and not in the rooms are acting in a way that a dry drunk would act, you know? Mm-hmm. Acknowledging them as a sick friend or... Yeah, just acknowledging them as a sick friend. And trying to separate who they might be deep down. Yeah. And I'm not God, I can't say who people are. They're not, I'm not really that great at determining that. But separating them from the behavior.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we're taught in AA. We separate the person from the behavior. So it allows us to be more loving and kind and considerate. You know? And it allows us to carry the message.
Yeah.
That has saved all of our lives.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, in the title of the reading was Bringing the Message Home. I can't say that I had too many boundaries when I was drinking. and... If I did, I didn't know how to set them and establish them and hold true to those boundaries. You know, whether it be my family or my friends, people in the rooms, outside of the rooms, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous today has taught me how to set boundaries. And it's a lot of them feel, when I say them, I feel like I'm being selfish, but I am.
That's okay.
But it's okay. And yeah. I've been taught that it's okay for me to be selfish today, because if I don't set the boundaries that I need to, no matter what facet of life that they're in, those boundaries are only for me to be a healthier person. And in turn, I can be a better person for the group. I can be a better person for my family, for my friends, and just not return to those old behaviors.
You have needs just like everybody
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm so grateful that that AA taught me first, because before I can set boundaries, before I set boundaries with people, I have to see that there's worth in doing so. Right. And before I'm able to do that, you know, someone had to tell me that it was worth, and then I have to have some self-worth. Because those boundaries for me are just so that I can have the self-love. You know, and that I see the worth in myself and that it's healthy for me. And in turn, when I'm loving myself, I'm able to love people better. So it's just kind of this circle, you know, of things that are happening, and it's really so that everyone can benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that you kind of put out there that it's self first. I think about it and have been told to think of it in a way like when you're on an airplane and they have the oxygen masks, mm-hmm. right? And they tell you when an emergency hits, you put your own mask on first, because without that, you're going down. Right. And you're not going to be able to help a single person around you. I don't want to compare it exactly to recovery, but to life. You know, if you are not taking care, or I will say if I am not taking care of myself, I won't make it, I won't be around long enough to help, to give back, to do anything with my family, with the programs, with sponsor, with meetings, with any of it. I won't be able to participate because I'm going to be passed out. I'm going to be passed out, not from the lack of oxygen, but from the exhaustion and from all of the weight that I am carrying around, constantly doing. And it's such a good analogy. It's so simple to think of, but it's probably the last thing I would ever do because I want to be a hero. I want to be the rescuer. I want to make sure that you're all okay and that you feel all right with me and that you don't, you know, I put so much thought into your thoughts of me that it is a full-time job. And God, I struggle with letting that go, you know, the codependency in me and also the lack of compassion I have for myself. I don't always show myself the same tolerance and compassion that I do for my fellow addicts and alcoholics. And you do have to put self first in this program. Mm-hmm. You do have to put self first or you will not continue to be around. If being selfish means I need to take time to make myself a healthier, more spiritually fit person, then like you said, not only am I benefiting from that because I'm going to be around longer, but everyone around me benefits from that.
Yeah.
Everyone around me benefits from that. It just feels uncomfortable at first to actually give a shit about myself some days. Right. It feels uncomfortable because I'm still of the alcoholic mind where, you know, this delusional thought can convince me that, you know, maybe I'm not worthy and maybe I am not deserving and I'm just going to ruin it anyway. And, right. you know, there's a lot of sickness that still exists up here.
Yep.
And then there's these little brief glimpses where I'm like, man, I really like me today. I really like who I'm becoming. I like the sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous that I am. I like what I'm seeing. And I do kind of have that, those little moments. And I have to let those outweigh all of the negative talk and all the other crap that exists, you know, because that's not real. That's my alcoholic diseased mind. That is not reality.
No. Emotions aren't facts.
No.
No.
I think it's important to remember. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Always thank you, Megan, Madison. Thank you guys for being with us. If you've heard something that you that struck a chord with you, or if you just need some resources, if you need some help, go to detoxtorehab.com. There's plenty of resources on there. And there's always the hotline you can call. There's an addiction specialist waiting to speak with you right now. And thank you again for joining us. And you can always join us next week for more fun stuff.